Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show for Nebula Jazz, episode 12. As Sam so eloquently put it, this is our sort of nadir episode, our dark bit. Sam, talk a little bit about that. Talk about what inspired Rexit. What made you go that direction?
I know, man. I felt like the group had been riding too long, riding high yeah. too long. And there was, we didn't really have this plan wasn't well thought out. We had like multiple plans in place and we hadn't really been communicating about them to each other. And for me, it was like the perfect time for there to be some kind of discourse, some kind of fallout. So I kind of jumped on that a little bit.
And so do you have in mind like an arc already that would kind of like pull you back to the group, or are you gonna like kind of let that come up?
Are you angling
for something? Because what's interesting and kind of great about being able to talk this stuff out in these post shows is, while we can still play to find out what happens in the game, we can also talk about what it's like when we play and what we might want to be compelled to do, and like how could if we're all thinking like we would ultimately we want Rex maybe to come back, But that's the other thing, right? Is that if Sam had said, oh, it's because I don't want to play Rex anymore, then that would be fine and Rex could leave and whatever. But what you're saying is like if you have an idea of like coming back, it helps us understand how we could compel you back to the fold, right?
I think I don't think it's necessarily something. I mean, maybe Eugene could help with the situation, but I think it's more of a self-discovery thing. Mm-hmm. It's more of Rex thinking like, fuck, like, I don't need this shitty crew, and it's actually the other way around, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So you envision it being mostly like external circumstances that drive
I envision like either like Quinn or someone gets in trouble, and then Rex realizes that like they function as a team and he's got a bucket of shit up, or the alternative is that maybe like Thuja and the Empress get captured or something, try and leave the planet, and then they realize that like they are the group that has to like fix the mess, and mm-hmm. something like that pulls the group back together, something like that. But yeah. I don't think Rex is gonna like end up like drinking himself into a stupor and then come back in the morning being like, sorry guys. It will have to be like something that
I feel like it's gonna be Aurora.
Well, I think it sounds to me like what Sam is saying is that like it's not going to be resolved by a conversation, right? It's not going to be someone being like, hey, Rex, we're really sorry, you should come on back. It's going to be like, Rex, oh my god, Quinn got captured and Eugene's dead and whatever. Like, oh yeah,
what?
I'm just saying.
Oh wait, it's another one of the slimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's Clarice.
Oh, yeah. Oh wait, it was Herbert.
Yeah.
Two gene.
Yeah.
Something fun for the Patreon viewers to know is that right before we enacted the whole like giving them the false scepter, basically that entire break was Sam and Jesse yelling at each other about what we should do.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, I mean, we were just like, you don't get it.
I was like,
oh, it was a discussion, please.
Yeah, it was a discussion.
I got up without my headphones on, and I could still hear everything you guys were saying.
All right, well, we're not all fucking supersonic bat children like you, all right? I don't know how you heard it, but it was just a discussion. Okay, it was a discussion. I was saying, I thought it was a bad idea. Jesse said it was a good idea. We were discussing it, and then we were going to role play it subsequently afterwards.
And I was saying that we should have a vote, but obviously that one did not win.
Right.
Democracy is a thing that was only like relevant on Earth for a very short time. No other place in the universe has ever.
Yeah.
The rest of the universe, democracy is not really a thing that really settled in. So
I feel like the only person really that had direction this episode was Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, like for me, I had like Rex had all these plans laid out. He had like a fucking duplicate scepter and all this shit. His ship got fucking destroyed. Like, they had to give the scepter to someone else. Like, everything he planned went to shit. So, just like, God, fuck.
Well, and that's how it goes, right? And it's really fun watching It's really fun watching Quinn be the voice of reason, right? To be like, no, we have a plan. We got to stick to it. I'm trying to like make things work, but everything is just crumbling around you.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Dude, and also for Rex to not be the cool guy, like to hit him, to just have fucking multiple breakdowns in an episode is kind of cool.
Yeah, totally.
I want to know what's going on with that shadow thing.
Shadow guy. Yeah. So when I was planning for the episode, I was like, okay, well, you know, you'll call up a bunch of background NPCs that'll be irrelevant, right? Like auction rabble. And then there'll be interesting people in the crowd. So you'll be like the Agarans who are like, no, I'm going to go and get that scepter so I can come back to the Shards of Agar and be like, I'm the fucking war chief. I have the thing. Do as I say. Right. Then the Imperium, obviously. And then I was like, I got to have a wild card. I got to have some kind of like weird entity that just shows up and is like, give me the thing. Right. And so I was thinking about, yeah, like the way that we could do that. And this is the thing about how compels work. And when people who look at fate for the first time balk at the idea of compels, that are like, no, but then you could just make anybody do anything. It's like, yeah, no, you offer to let them do something, but they can be like, no. And so instead of it being this thing that like subtly manipulates all the characters from behind the scenes, it just ended up being kind of like thwarted, right? Be like, give me the scepter. You can have whatever you want. And you're like, no, I don't think so. And it's like, come on, Rex, give me the fucking scepter. And you're like, eh, I don't think so. And it's just this frustrated...
That actually wound up being really, really fun for me because yeah. I was like, it's so vague. Like, it's not willing to tell me anything. And I've hustled enough people in my life to know, like, this money probably isn't real. Like,
yeah. You know? Well, and the thing about that is like, I think that we got to step outside of the tropey like stuff that we do sometimes where like, yes, the trope is mysterious outsider who offers you your wildest dreams. Normally the character would be like, yes, of course, I will do as you say and like go and fucking, you know, Renfield their way into being, you know, captured by this creature. But it's funny when Eugene is the audience and Eugene got to be like, don't bullshit a bullshitter, son. Like, I don't think so. I know how this goes. I'm better than you at this. So try that shit on somebody else.
Right.
Which I thought was great. I felt really good about how that went. But yeah, like I like the idea of that like creature kind of like lurking around and trying to get what it wanted by promising you things, but because you're PCs, you're like, no, we'll get it ourselves. It's fine. Yeah. Big cosmic lore dump today too. Like meeting the hybrid and learning all that stuff. Thoughts on that stuff. I know Jesse, you don't think some of it's true. Anybody else share those feelings? You think she's a pretender?
I never felt like she was a pretender. But...
I don't necessarily think she's not telling the truth. I just don't... We don't know any of these people. Like, we know the story she told us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I feel like Quinn as a character, he isn't the hero. He isn't the, like, sarcastic one. What he is the guy who's just like, how do I keep everyone alive? And by doing that, I have to do some shitty things because I care about people. Like, I'm trying to keep my planet alive. I'm trying to keep my friends alive. I'm trying not, like, I don't want shit to turn south. And even if it does, I'm trying to get the best outcome possible. And, like, I don't know her. I don't trust her. Like, this could all be nonsense. Like, like, when you think about the possible outcomes.
Imagine like if this was like a 4-coma anime comic, right, that like spoofs on it, it would be that the reason that Thuja kept not letting us touch her is because it's gold paint and somebody like touches her by accident. It's like, what?
Straight up, and we're all like, and the crazy thing is, like, when I was thinking about it, is like pros and cons of giving her the real scepter is, okay, we no longer have any chips and people can still come for us and we've got nothing to like say we have this, and now she has everything and she get captured, she could use it and actually be a bad guy. There's all these things. If we give her the fake one, the only con is that she could fuck up at some point and be like, and now I'll use the power and totally
yeah,
like
exactly, by the power of Grayskull, and then nothing, just and nothing
it,
happens.
Yeah, and when it comes to her, like, that sucks for her, but and I guess the other one is people will still come after us, but I strongly feel like they probably would anyway because they still think we killed the prince. So there's no way an evil uncle is going to be like, I have the power, but you know what? Let those guys go. So I don't, like, no matter what, as a character, Quinn thinks we're totally screwed. So it's best to be screwed with something like a giant scepter that's going to protect us from all this.
I mean, to your point, Jesse, I think that, like, the two things that the Duke is trying to do is get the scepter. Well, he's kind of got three things he's going after, right? Try to get the scepter so you can use his super weapon. Kill the princess. And then also use anybody as a patsy if he did actually kill the prince, right? Because to be in charge, he needs the weapons to back it up. He needs to kill a legitimate heir, and he needs to kill. But I don't.
He needs a scapegoat.
Yeah, and he needs a scapegoat because it's easy to blame some scum. And if you give up the scepter, you're right. Like he'll still be like, no, but we got to get those guys that killed Prince Novarius.
Also, if the Commodore is saying that he doesn't understand the sister question, then I would assume rather than it being like, oh, well, there is no sister, I would assume it's they don't even like see her as a thing. Which means if she shows up with the scepter anyway, they're gonna be like, the fuck are you? Like, we don't care that you have a scepter. Like, all right, we're gonna take it and now use it anyway. So
yeah, the Mingasi don't care about the scepter inherently. Like the Agarans, it's a cultural artifact and symbolizes their like control. But the Mingasi, it's a key to their weapon. They need to use it to recharge their super weapon.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting though. Yeah. I mean, it is going to go badly for them if they think they have the real scepter and then it turns out they don't. But it sounds to me like Quinn doesn't think that's his problem.
Well, I imagine by that time we will already be caught up in some other wacky adventure. We'll probably have to give it to them anyway. But I think no matter what, at this point in time, it doesn't make sense to just be like, here, take this thing. We want you to have it because we totally trust you. Like, we don't know anything about it. And, you know, it doesn't matter that Thuja is kind of on our side. We don't know this person. So until we do, I ain't trusting nobody.
Dude, Eugene had a moment there where he was like, oh my God, finally, everybody gets it. We give them the fake one and then we sell the real one. Finally, everybody gets it. Like the whole blow up between Quinn and Rex. Just like, no, we don't know them. It's about, you know, the fate of the universe and all this shit. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Rex is in the opposite boat to Quinn. Rex is like, he wants it to be done so that their crew can get back to just doing their shit.
Yeah.
But also, like, he ate the prince, and that's the prince's sister. And he feels a little bit weird about her, but like he's in a position
love.
Where like
you feel love for her. You feel true, well, burning deep love.
A bit weird.
The GM might have compelled me into a situation, but I think even if Adam hadn't done that, I was still like, because of the prince, I almost feel like I already know her kind of thing. So it's like the way Rex's character is evolving is like he had no reason not to trust her in that situation. And right. Thuja, he's got no reason not to trust Thuja either. But when he's in a unique situation compared to the group. But that led to him being cut out of the decision. And for Rex, that's like, all right, so this group's gone. We're done.
Because right.
If you're cutting out the chief, then there ain't no group.
And I feel like Aurora is the most disconnected from all of this. Like, everyone's fighting over the scepter, and she's just kind of, like, wondering now, like, what this lady's talking about, this... And I don't know, I think Aurora would have a concept of what people view as beautiful and all that. So she knows that this lady is considered beautiful, even though she grew up on a robot land where they don't do that. But still, she's just like, what is this lady talking about? What is Earth? Why is it a big deal? So now that's like, I think where the end, where you saw her sort of going through her thing. And she's like, she's having her own self-discovery and questioning her life. And so everyone's off in their own corner and she's over there going, what's the meaning of all this?
I find it weird but interesting that you're still questioning it when you like saw when I was with you and you saw like the flashbacks of your mother and stuff.
Listen, like, listen, Rex, if facts could change people's minds, the world would be a very different place.
Oh no, I think it's I'm enjoying like how resolute the denial is with the character.
I think that makes her very human though. That makes her very human is that she's in such deep denial that now it's actually starting to tear at her. because she has so many stacks against it that maybe that's why she's drinking so much. Maybe that's why she did stupid stuff and ended up getting like, you guys are in trouble just because you don't have a ship right now that's functioning. So
then you have to actually accept that your granddad murdered your entire race.
Yeah. Right. The Alexaturnians didn't they didn't murder them personally. They just gave the Imperium the tools with which to murder several
races.
They're like
races. Nazi scientists. They didn't do it themselves, but they helped make it happen.
Well, and where that,
what they
that
are.
Where that might lead her is if she decides, you know what, I am maybe part human, maybe, or earthling, I don't know, then that might make her pissed off and want revenge as well, and that would put her on Thuja's side. So I think that's the thing that you're I don't know. I think that would be an interesting.
Well, and that's the tension for Aurora, right? Is that Aurora is from a planet that the Alexaturnians helped destroy, but she was raised by Alexaturnians. So yeah. It's like,
oh, we should have just gone to Mother Slime.
Who is your true family?
Jesse was right.
You don't want to go there. You don't want to go to Mother Slime.
We should have gone to Mother Slime.
You don't want to go there. God, it's fucking awful.
And be turned into acid? No, thank you.
Oh, you're like, they don't do that to the visitors, probably.
Dude, but I thought that it was interesting, though, that the other slime, just by having something inside of him, like, it, like, dissolved stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit, what are those slimes putting in themselves?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I mean, there's species variants of slime with different levels of acidity, I think.
I'm still curious what happened to Tujin. Like, to me, that's the biggest mystery of all, because why would that thing not kill Eugene?
Again, another Four Coma comic, right?
Yeah.
Is that this thing shows up and is like, I can give you whatever you want. He's like, okay. And then he like transports this thing back to the mother slime and goes, oh, I didn't ask for the scepter first.
Right. I do love the idea, the flipping of the trope there where, yeah, the mysterious entity that wants to give you whatever you want in exchange for the scepter is kind of incompetent. And that totally, like, in my head, that totally would have been that scene too. They're like, give me the scepter. And he's like, okay, what do you demand in return? Send me the mother slime. It is done. Ah, fuck. Yeah.
And then he sees another slime. He's like, Eugene. Ah,
that one, yes. Well, because that's the thing, he couldn't even tell the difference between the two. Like, I like the idea that this weird, like, desire ghost is just not very good at his job yet. Like,
it's his first day. It's his first day as a desire mission. Ghost.
And like, yeah, somewhere in the great cloud of desire ghosts, they were like, go get us this scepter. And he was like, okay, I can do this, boss. And
I like how he tried so much harder with Eugene as well. Like, I feel like for me, it was just like, what do you want most? And then Rex Torvani, he was like, nah, and just walked out the room. And that was it. That was, he didn't like push it.
The next episode will just start with it'll start with a scene of him in like a cheap hotel room, like calling his wife back in the Desire Ghost homeworld, being like, I'm just not having a very good day, honey, like smoking through his mask. And she's like, don't worry, but we'll get him next time. Good stuff. Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed that NPC. One thing that's fun about Nebula Jazz is that I can make NPCs and it's plausible for them to only be around for an episode. They can be one note and not have to be like an entire symphony of amusing. We can just be like, here's a funny ghost. Okay, he's gone. Never mind. We don't need him again. But for episode 12, he was funny.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I've seen people complain about Dave because Dave's not around anymore, but I'm like, I liked Dave being that one-off character that is gone.
He lives on the lizard homeworld now. It's cool. Yeah. He's their minister of dungeons. Cool.
He's just a weird human on the lizard homeworld.
But you know, I think part of that is also kind of a compliment to the story because people are so obsessed with humans, which is so rare, right? Like everybody who's watching is just like, wait, is that a human? Are they humans? Yeah. Like, where's Dave? He was a human. Like, what's up with Dave? You know?
Well, then Dave, like someone like Dave comes in the picture, like, okay, is he gonna talk to Aurora now? Are they gonna talk?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like making something rare, creating that scarcity of character moment, and then putting them in, and then having them. Because yeah, people on the thread were asking like, what happened to Dave? And I'm like, look, this is how role playing games work. If the PCs don't care about the character and they don't ask, I'm not gonna drag them along. I'm gonna be like, hey guys, what about Dave? I'm gonna be like, fuck it. He's hanging out with the lizards. It's cool.
Hashtag whale shaman.
Yes, exactly, right? You'll get to see him again in the epilogue after the show is over.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun, right? Is like seeing the thing I think that And this is true of role-playing games as it is in writing or TV or movies or whatever. Like, there is too much of a good thing. That's a thing that exists. And if you're like, hey, remember your favorite Baby Groot? Here he is again.
Oh yeah.
It can really sour the show. So
yeah,
we'll just let him be in the background so that later, you know, 10 episodes from now, when you've all forgotten about Dave the Human, there he is.
Oh, Dave.
There he is. Be like, hey, everybody.
Hi, this guys. This is my
lizard wife.
We're all in jail. And he like bursts in. He's like, shh, I'm here to save you. It's like, Dave.
or something like super subtle, like a news episode, like in the background on a TV somewhere.
It's just the like, newly elected leader of SLIN, Dave the Human.
Dave the Human. Dave.
Exactly. And I can't do that if they're just around all the time. Which I guess the lesson to be learned there is if you really love something, don't spend all your fucking free time on it. Just let it go.
If you love
something,
let it go. And it will return and make cameos.
Exactly. Yeah. Cameos later in the episode of your life.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
Well, why don't we leave it on that profound note? like your favorite NPCs, we too will be back in the future. For more Nebula Jazz, we'll let everybody know when the next episode is. Thanks for coming and watching, and thank you, patrons, for continuing to support the show. If you haven't watched it already, we did a character creation video for the new arc of Court of Swords, and we get like real heavy into the like, how do we make D&D break and make the best possible character? So if you're interested in that stuff, you like D&D, go check it out if you haven't already. Yeah, we'll be back next time for more Nebula Jazz. Thanks for playing, everybody, and thanks for coming and watching. Yeah. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.